Miss Katie. How many of you here tonight are great starters? Amen. Yeah, great starters. Amen. You started organizing that area. Amen? You started painting that room. Now it's getting personal. Amen. You started cleaning that garage. Amen. Here's one. Brother Tim, with me on this one. You started reading that book. Amen. I can't tell you how many books I have where there's a bookmark about 25 pages in. Amen. We're great stars, but how many of you would say, you know, Pastor, while I am a great starter, I'm not as great of a finisher as I am of a starter? I got my phone here. There's, praise God, you can do all kinds of things on your phone nowadays. I say, you know, this is a perfect sound for those who say, I'm not quite as great of a finisher as I am as a starter. You hear that? Amen? That's why I finish. I'm a great starter, but I'm not as good of a finisher. You know, it's been my experience. I've been saved just 20 years. That's not a long time to be saved. Some of you have been saved 30, 40, 50, 60 years. But it's been my experience that a lot of people in the Christian life are great starters. But there's not many great finishers. One of the saddest things I have witnessed in my Christian life is people walking away from God. And by the way, I'll just say this. It's a sidebar. It's free. It's not in my notes. But it usually starts when you walk away from the house of God. Praise God, prodigals do come back, and all God's people said. But a lot of them never do. So you know what? If you want to do yourself a favor and keep yourself from running shipwreck, keep yourself in the house of God. Keep yourself in the house of God. By the way, I'll just say this. It's not about how and when you start. Some people get saved later in life. They get a later start. I think about Dr. Malone and his testimony, and he had such a tremendous testimony. I've heard him tell it so many times that when he got saved, he was a 19-year-old boy with bib overalls and red clay all over his feet. He said, and a man got saved next to him named Mr. Mack. And Mr. Mack was in his early 60s when he got saved. And Brother Ewald, he was a chain smoker. He literally, this was back, they rolled their own back there in the hills of Alabama. And he would take the one that he had in his mouth and he would roll another one. And he would light the one that he was putting in his mouth with the other one. And Mr. Mack at 63 years old and Brother Tom Malone at 19 years old got saved. You know what Mr. Mack did? Mr. Mack went all over Alabama and planted, I believe, 60 churches. Hey. Listen, it's not about when we start. It's not about how we start. I think this morning, I know a lot of you saw me up here with Omar. Omar's my buddy. I'm telling you what, Omar, I love Omar. We were up here singing, amen, and I was showing him where the words were. And we were singing, you know, I thought about Omar when I think, you know what, some of us in how we start, some of us come from great Christian homes. Thank God for that. Amen. Hey, if you're a young person, if you're a teenager and you come from a great Christian home, you ought to thank your mom and dad. You ought to thank your mom and dad that the wrong programs aren't on and available in your home. You ought to thank them. Some people come from unspiritual Christian homes. Amen. Come on, parents. Amen. Let's provide the right environment. Let's provide that spiritual Christian home. Some people come from good homes. I came from a good home with lost parents. Amen. Good home. Amen. Amen. Some people come from broken homes where either death or divorce has broken their home. By the way, I just say this. Every time I've ever preached on divorce, people that have gone through divorce have been my loudest ameners. Because they know behind every divorce is tragedy and heartbreak and heartache. And you know what? Some people come from terrible homes. And listen, our bus kids, I thank God for those precious kids. They by the way, they come from a myriad of those homes I just described. Amen. Maybe more on the back end of the list. But I'll just say this. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to help them. We're trying to help them. My dad told me that when I was a little leaguer, and if I'm, I know many of our guys on our team, we've talked and said, Pastor, man, how do you hit the ball like that? How do you hit the ball hard like that? And honestly, the truth is, I always say, look, it's if you want to hit power with a baseball, it's hips and wrists. That's where you get all your power from. Amen. And I learned that from my dad, who threw me ball after 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 ball. My dad told me this. Now, he could be biased. That's fine. He was my dad. But he umpired a lot of games, watched a lot of games. He said, son, I remember when you would get two strikes on you as a little guy, and you choke up on that bat, he said, you were the toughest two-strike hitter I've ever seen in my entire life. He said, you would foul off pitch, you would watch pitches. He said, it was just one of those things, and eventually you'd get a hit. And you know what we're trying to teach these bus kids to do? How to foul off bad pitches. That's what we're trying to do. How to foul off some tough, satanic pitches. But just listen, just get a piece of it. Listen, when I was a kid, by the way, he's a great preacher now. He preaches all over the place. A man named Bernie Carbo. Anybody ever heard of Bernie Carbo before? From Michigan, amen. He was on the 75 Red Sox, and the Red Sox were down by 3 runs in the bottom of the 8th. The Reds were ready to win the World Series. And old Bernie Carbo stepped up with 2 runners on. And I'm telling you, if you've ever seen, you can YouTube it, look at the video. If you've ever seen it, Raleigh Eastwick threw him a pitch that was right about here, and he just went like this, Brother Allen. It was the most awful swing. He looked like a new fawn up there, you know? And the next one, he hit 400 feet and tied the game. You know what? Fouling off pitches. You know what we want to try to help these young people do that come from rougher homes? We want to help them to foul off pitches. Why? So they can hit that home run and finish. Finish. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about finishing, helping people to finish. I think about the context. If you look at this passage, it's 2 Timothy is a great book of the Bible. By the way, again, thinking about good starts, and it's not about how you start, it's how about you, how you finish. Think about Solomon, amen? Solomon had a great start. God, give me wisdom. I don't need riches. I don't need all the other things of life. And God blessed him in such a way. But remember how he ended? His wives, his 700 wives, turned his heart from the Lord to worship idols. The context of 2 Timothy in chapter 1, you have a reminder of the power of the gospel. In chapter 2, you have the requirements of the perseverance of the gospel. In chapter 3, you have the resistance of the protector of the gospel. And in chapter 4, we have the requests of the proclamation of the gospel. Tremendous chapter of the Word of God. I think about verse 2 of chapter 4 where it says, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Well, I'll tell you what. I appreciated Brother Charlie Clark when we went down there at camp. You know what? He was just a Bible preacher. And that's, by the way, that's a high compliment. When somebody says to me, Pastor, you preach the Bible, I say, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Amen. Very kind of you. So that's the kind I want to be. I heard about a man, M.R. DeHaan, great writer of Our Daily Bread. He said this, many times we have heard a preacher announce a text and then immediately depart from it on an excursion over land and sea, never to come back to it again. Amen. That's not Bible preaching. I heard of another one. It's great. He said a certain man who had listened to a sermon described it as very moving, soothing, and satisfying. It was moving inasmuch as half the congregation left. Soothing because the rest fell asleep. And satisfying because they cared for no more of that sort. Amen. Boy, I tell you, that's not the way I want to be. A preacher of the Word. Preach the Word. Why? Verse 3. For the time will come. And Brother Ewald, I know I picked on you several times today, amen, because I know we're right on the same plane on this. I think the time has come.
when men don't want sound doctrine. They don't want Bible preaching. Listen, I don't often call names. I don't think it's profitable. But listen, there's a reason why that Joel Osteen will have 25,000 people in that place. Because the time has come when we don't endure sound doctrine, but we heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And on he goes. But by the way, he says there in verse number 5, but watch thou in all things. It's our job as Christians to be careful, to be watchful about things. And then it says this, endure afflictions. Dr. Malone used to tell us about the ministry, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And then he says, for I am now ready to be offered. The great apostle, writer of 14 books of the New Testament, if you count Hebrews, and I do, over half the New Testament written by this man, he says, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. He's saying to his protege, young Timothy, it's time for me to go. I've appealed to Caesar, and he's refused. And very soon I'm going to lose my head at the Roman axe. And he says in verse 7, I fought a good fight. Boy, I tell you, I like that. I think we're raising a generation of sissies. I got in so many fights when I was a kid. I'm telling you what, it was ridiculous how many fights we got in. And listen, I understand you don't have as many friendships and the circle's not as big anymore. I understand. I remember I got in a fight with a kid, and after the fight we became best friends. After we had fought and this, my kids fight all the time. They fight all the time. They're brothers. They're supposed to. I like what Paul, he said, listen, Paul said here, I fought a good fight. I'm glad Paul was in the fight. You know, churches capitulating and compromising and Christians just buttoning their lip. I said it this morning, the other crowd isn't buttoning their lip. It's time to stand up and fight. Amen. Paul said, I fought a good fight. And he said this, I have finished my course. I finished my course. He would say in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run our race with patience. You know, you have a race to run, Brother Abe. I have a race to run. Brother Bill, you have a race to run. Brother McKinley, you have a race to run. Your race is not my race. Our job, my job is to finish my race. Your job is to finish your race. And Paul could say here, I finished my course. Why? I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. The thought tonight is, how did Paul finish? And how can we finish? And it was mentioned, I preached a condensed version of this down at the camp. They asked me to do the flagpole service. And what I want to do tonight, if we could, is just look at the Apostle Paul. Just briefly, 5 points tonight, and look at how he finished. And he finished well. He finished. And I want to look at some things that we can see in Paul's life that we can look at in our own lives. And say, you know what? Boy, I'll tell you what, I need to make adjustments there if I'm going to finish well. Go back to Acts chapter 9 with me, and we'll look at the first point. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 3. And here Saul, who would become Paul, is on the Damascus Road. And he's got letters in his hand. He's ready to hail Christians into prison and death. His purpose is set. And something happens. Verse 2 says, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he found, if he found any of this way. What way? The Jesus way.
the salvation way, the blood-stained way, amen? Whether they were men or women, He might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as He journeyed, He came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about Him a light from heaven. And He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto Him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou Me? And He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. By the way, it's a great passage on the deity of Jesus Christ right here. That voice from heaven was the Lord Jesus Himself. Amen. Whom thou persecutest, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What happened here? What happened? Well, this is really where Paul started, isn't it? Number one, if you and I are going to finish correctly, if we're going to finish well, we're going to, number one, and it's A, B, C, D, E if you keep an outline. A, first of all, number one, allow God to get our attention. If you and I are going to finish well, we are going to have to allow God to get our attention. Can I say this? The God of heaven, who by all things by Him consist, amen, who's got everything working together for His good, is always trying to get our attention. He is always trying to get our attention. Why? He wants a relationship with you and I. By the way, doesn't that just slay you? Listen, David said that, when I consider the moon, the stars, the work of thy hands, thy fingers which thou hast made, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But He is mindful of us. He's mindful of our tears. He's mindful of our needs. He's mindful of our sorrows. He's mindful of our hurts. And He wants to get our attention. God has used things in my life to get my attention. God has used things in your life to get your attention. Can I say this? God, with Saul here, you know what He did? He shone a light from heaven. He may not shone a light from heaven for you, but can I tell you this? He's given you a light from heaven to get your attention. Right here. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what, church? Light unto my path. Hey, you know what? If you're going to finish well, you know what you're going to have to do? Get in this book and allow God to get your attention. Bob Jones Sr. said, every great man that has ever done anything for God was moved by some truth found in the Word of God. Just absolutely moved him. I think about men that have planted churches. Why? Because they looked in the Word of God and felt that God wanted them to plant a church. Amen, brother? Amen? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? If you're going to finish well, if you're not going to bow out of the race, you're going to have to allow God to get your attention. Secondly, you're not only going to have to allow God to get your attention. Go with me over to, let's go to Galatians chapter 1. And then we'll come back to Acts. Amen. I want to look at both of these. Galatians chapter 1. If you know your Bibles, you know in verse 15, Paul is talking about what happened after he got saved. He said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. By the way, in the mind of God, that's how it takes place. It's amazing. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows who will be saved, who won't be saved. Don't get hung up on these difficult things. Paul's just saying, hey, this is the way God saw it. He says, to reveal His Son in me,
Boy, isn't that something? God would do that for us. That I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode there with him 15 days. Paul had a ministry with the Lord, a teaching ministry where he was the student for 3 years with the Lord Jesus. Amazing. Go back to Acts chapter 17, and I want to drive at something here and show you something that will definitely keep you from bowing out, will keep you on the path to finishing. Acts chapter 17, and look at verse 2. It's really a simple phrase. It's grabbed my attention many times. I have it underlined. It says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs to have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ." Tremendous verse. Tremendous verse. It's that first little phrase that says, "And Paul, as his manner was." Can I tell you this? If you're going to finish, you're going to have to, A, allow God to get your attention. B, you're going to have to build your faith and faithful habits. The reason why a lot of people don't finish is they don't come to church. It's plain and simple. The reason why is something got in. Maybe it was an offense. That happens a lot. Oh, yeah. There's only two problems in churches, men and women. Come on. Amen? We get offended. By the way, if I get offended by you, it's my fault. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Yeah. If you say something and I take offense, that's my fault. Amen. Listen, Paul, you know what he did? He built his faith. It goes back to that book again. Building your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't have to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Get to a church where the Word of God is preached.
Amen.
Amen. Where the Word of God is exalted. Amen. Where it is given out for us to take that bread and eat during the week. Amen. But then, you know what else? You're going to have to build faithful habits. You're going to have to come to church when you don't want to. Can I tell you this? I got up from my nap, Brother Howard, when I asked you if you had a nap. You said, "Nope." Amen. And I know that was the best thing for you. I got up from my nap. It was about 4:55. And you know what I thought? I'd love to sleep for another half hour. But I couldn't. No, I couldn't. Why? It's prayer time. That's a faithful habit I'm trying to get into. Praying.
Amen.
I think that's a good one. Amen. Faithful habits, just doing things that encourage your faithfulness. I think about Pastor Donald and what he's trying to do with our teens. Hey, listen, parents of teenagers, you would do yourself well to help him, to help your young people be faithful. You know what? You know what I want my kids? Lord willing, I think the Lord's going to come by then. But if my kids would ever reach my age, Brother Horsch, I'd want them to be faithful. And I couldn't ever expect that if I didn't build faithful habits into them. Hey, okay, let's read our Bibles. Hey, there'd be times I said, "Did you do your devotion?" He said, "No, I didn't." Okay, get up, do it right now. Do it right now, amen. Why? Because it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I want to finish. I've seen a lot of people not finish because they didn't build faithful habits and they just got to the point and just kind of drifted. You know where drifting always takes you? Somewhere you don't want to go. Hey, as Christians, we got to swim upstream. That takes effort. Amen. It really does. And so build your faith and faithful habits. So A, allow God to get your attention. B, build your faith and faithful habits. When I talk about faithful habits, I talk about habits of prayer, habits of church attendance, habits of outreach. Amen. Three, go to Acts, you're in Acts, go to Acts chapter 20. Paul said in Acts 9:6, "What will thou have me to do?" Great question. Amen. A question each one of us should be willing to ask of God. But then Paul says in Acts chapter 20, as he's talking to the Ephesian elders, he says in verse number 17 of Acts chapter 20, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." And what's that? Those next three words, church? "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews." Number three, commit yourself to serve the Lord. Commit yourself to serve the Lord. I have known many people that their service kept them where God wanted them. Where their service kept them from quitting. Serving the Lord. Now, by the way, that's not the best motive. But I think, let me flip it around. I've known very few people that quit that were actively serving the Lord. Every one of us, everyone in this room, I don't care, from the youngest to the oldest, can have a ministry and should have a ministry within the local church. Amen, amen. Every one of us, you can pray, you can serve as an usher, you can certainly carry gospel tracts and witness, you can play the instruments, but only if you can play the instruments.
Amen.
Trust me, you don't want me to get up there and Miss Vivian, you could show me a couple things, amen, but it won't work out very good, amen. Some of you can teach Sunday school. Some of us can work a bus. Amen. Some of us can give and give above that other people can. Hey, thank God for that. Everybody, commit to serve the Lord. That'll keep you faithful. We have faithfulness requirements for our leaders here. Why? Because it's important that leaders be faithful. And I'll tell you what, if you make that commitment, by the way, this is a good place to make it, right here. Right here. Right here at the altar, making a commitment saying, God, I will serve you. I remember those days. And by the way, it's not just one time. Sometimes we got to go back and say, Lord, I said I would, and I went back on it, and I'm here again. And Lord, I'm committing to serve. Make that commitment. Paul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And he finished well, didn't he? He was serving the Lord. Hey, we should be serving the Lord. Serving. Ask yourself, what am I doing for God right now? What am I doing for God? By the way, feel free to come to me. Preacher, is there an area that I can serve in? I appreciate some of you that already have done that. I think about VBS crafts, decorations. Some of you are so skilled. I thank God for you. Amen. Where can I serve? There's plenty of places to serve the Lord here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Commit to serve the Lord. A, allow God to get our attention. B, build our faith and faithful habits. C, commit ourselves to serve the Lord. D, you're in Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 24. It's a great verse. Paul said this. Well, really, you need to read verse 23. It says, "Save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Verse 24, he says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, for I testify the gospel of the grace of God." D, determined to finish. Determined to finish. I remember when we would run for soccer. Oh my goodness. People talk about soccer and they say, oh boy, that's a wimpy game. You never played it, first of all. They don't have any pads. Okay? You get kicked. I've gotten kicked in the head, right in the face. Boom. That's why my nose is all sideways. Amen. We would run and run. And if you've ever seen a soccer player, there are times when you're not running very much, but you're running all the time. You're not running very hard, rather, but you're just... I think of halfbacks. Halfbacks play the center of the field. They run from end to end. That's what they do. Run, and I remember the coach say, "All right, five laps, go!" And we'd start doing those five laps, amen, trucking along. And you get one done, you think, boy, I really would love to stop right now, but I don't want to get yelled at. So you know, if we all stopped and beat the coach to death, nobody would ever know the wiser, amen? But no, we went on. 2, 3, 4. And I'll tell you what, you get to lap number 4, Brother Jim, you're like, I'm almost home. I'm almost home. So I'm almost... You runners will tell you, people that do marathons, my wife and I were behind this car and it said, had a little bumper sticker on it, and it said 26.2 times 9. And we were looking at that, and I'm looking at that, and my wife said, oh, that's weird. Was that a longitude or something? I don't, you know, you see those, amen. And I said, that means that person has run 9 marathons. I mean, thinking about driving that far makes me a little uneasy, amen. Marathon runners will tell you, you faint right here before your legs ever do. So you know what we need to do as Christians? We need to determine to finish. You have to make the determination. You know, Brother Leonard, years ago I said, I'm not going to be somebody else's sermon illustration. I'm not going to be somebody else's sermon illustration of falling out. Listen, I've probably done things in my Christian life where I thought I should have been somebody's sermon illustration. But I'm not going to be one who quits. I don't want to be one who quits. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, you have to make that determination. My wife and I have joked for years and years and years and years. We'll never get divorced. It's the old Bob Jones line. Have you ever thought about divorce? Divorce, no. Murder, yes. We'll never get divorced. Divorce is not in our vocabulary. It's absolutely not. It's not in our dictionary. Amen? And now listen, I'm not presumptuous. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. But it's a whole lot less likely to happen. Amen? If you determine to finish, the odds of you finishing are a lot better than somebody else. Paul said, you know what? None of these things move. There's a lot of things that could have moved Paul. In our text, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we learn of a man named Demas. You know what it says about Demas? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I wonder how many broken-hearted preachers that invested their life in somebody saw them take off for the world, for the glitz and glitter of this world. And like Paul, he said, you know, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present. Listen, Demas was a missionary. He went with Paul on missions journeys. Boy, he could have said, you know what, I've had enough. You know, I forget this, brother. You know, forget it. Think about that list of things he says in 2 Corinthians 11. A night and a day in the deep of stripes above, 3 times of 40, less 1. And he goes on and on about all those things. Paul had every reason. When's the last time you literally had somebody throw rocks at you until you died? And then old Paul, God bless him, I'd probably run the other direction. I'm sorry, I'm being honest. He went right back into Lystra and started preaching. Probably with blood on his face. You know what he said? I am going to finish my course with joy. None of these things... Don't let anything move you from finishing. I mentioned in prayer time, some of you sweet seniors, if the Lord doesn't come, you're real close to finishing. Finish. Finish. Don't bow out now. You're too close to the end. You're coming into the stadium of the marathon with everybody cheering for you. Now's not the time to quit. Now's the time to finish well. Finish well. Determine to finish. A, allow God to get our attention. B, build our faith and faithful habits. C, commit ourselves to serve. D, determine to finish our race. And then lastly, go with me back to our text in 2 Timothy. I didn't say much about it, but I think of old, when that determining to finish, I think of Nehemiah. Old Nehemiah. Listen, I can't come off the wall. I'm doing great work here. We're going to finish this wall. I'm not going to let the Sanballats and Tobias take me off the wall. Amen. We're here to finish. 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. Lastly, you know, the Lord told us, gave us the Great Commission. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we believe in missions around here. That's why, amen. It's why we believe in gospel tracts around here. Amen. It's why we believe that if you're at Myers, look for an opportunity to share Christ with that coworker, especially if it's Keith Sammons. Amen. No, listen. God told us to go everywhere and preach the gospel. Everywhere. 2 Timothy 2:2, it's kind of a different application of that. He says in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong." Boy, if you're going to finish, you're going to need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not in our own strength, but in His grace. But he says this, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." A, allow God to get our attention. B, build our faith in faithful habits. C, commit ourselves to serve. D, determine to finish our race. E, earnestly reach and teach someone else to finish. Earnestly reach and teach someone else to finish. You Sunday school teachers, you don't realize it, but every week, you know what you're encouraging somebody to do? Finish. Finish. I hear Sunday school teachers, I hear stories that my kids tell me. I love it. I love it. I was in the car today. We were talking about something biblical, Mrs. Harmon, and my Eric said, "Mrs. Harmon taught me that." Doesn't fall on deaf ears. Sometimes it does. Amen. Yep. Sometimes that's just the way it goes. Amen. Yeah. But you know what? You know what I want? I was thinking about what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is for me personally to have Pastor Donald and Miss Marissa here with us. They're wonderful youth pastors. Youth pastors. Amen.
Amen.
They're wonderful. And you know what they are? They're a product of investment of people. All kinds of people. Amen. I'm glad to have had a small part in Pastor Donald's life. But you know what I'm looking for? The next Pastor Donald to invest in. The next person to say, you know what? And so many of you sent me little notes and things like that. So kind. I appreciate that. Pastor, I love you. Thank you for preaching. Thank you for encouraging me. By the way, we all ought to be Barnabases, encouragers. Yeah. Earnestly reach and teach someone else to finish. Paul says here to Timothy, look, the things I've taught you, the same commit thou to faith. Listen, find somebody you can invest in. I had to pick up Miss Connie. What a privilege that. I say had to. I get to. I get to. Brother Ken, amen. I get to pick up Miss Connie. And I said to my mom and I were talking, and I said, you know, I hope my wife and I have always picked up people for church. Actually, this ministry is the first time we didn't have anybody on a weekly basis that we personally had to pick up for church. Just our family's grown, and you know how that goes. But I said, I hope when I'm older, if the Lord would give me years, that I'd still be able to pick people up for church. And still be able to influence. There are teenagers that are now adults and have their own families that say, Pastor, thank you for picking me up for church. I'm still in church today. Tell you what. Earnestly, earnestly reach and teach somebody to finish. I hope that I help you to finish. I hope that when we get to heaven, you say, you know what, Pastor, thank you for helping me to finish. That's what it talks about in Hebrews 13 when it says, obey them that have the rule over you. It's not because we walk around saying, obey me, amen. It's that you might finish your course with joy. And then I might be sitting there happy as a peacock for you. Say, you know what? You did it. Praise God. You did it. You took God at His word and you finished. Amen. Oh, that's what I want. I want you, church, to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because of something that came from that pulpit. Well done, thou good. I don't want you to hear, well, I have to keep my word. I said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So come on in. You're home. I want you to hear, well done. Well done. You finished. Told of the story of a man that bought a gold mine. He bought a gold mine and he started mining it, Mr. Perry, and just nothing. 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 Kept going, nothing. 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 Kept going, nothing. Nothing. Just nothing. Finally gave up. He said, you know what? Never mind this. Sold it for pennies on the dollar for a man who went another 14 inches and found one of the biggest gold veins that's ever been discovered. 14 inches, Brother Becker. Hey, you know where we are? 14 inches from the end. Let's keep going. Let's finish. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness.